SMS now. Clientele Life is a licensed life insurer and an authorized FSP. Standard rates, terms, and conditions apply.
This October month, SFM shines a light on mental health awareness. This month, we bring you conversations that break the stigma, encourage care, and provide strategies to protect your mental well-being. Because it's okay not to be okay. And together, we can build a healthier tomorrow. SAFM, leading the conversations that move us.
Top Sports with Michael Abramson.
Let's get to some of the voice notes because there are comprehensive voice notes that have come through. Let's have a listen.
I really enjoy cup competitions because cup competitions is very difficult to actually predict the scoreline. But when it comes to Skukunye, I think they lost because of Robles' Maradona move because, well, we all saw there was a handball. And then I think the football universe was like, you know what? Let's throw Lamontville a bone because those goals came in so fast and so quick and they were just beautiful goals. But the biggest message I want to send out today is to TLB, the terrific left back. Oh my goodness, Mbokazi, that goal, what a goal. Now that is a contending goal for goal of the year, goal of the season.
Top Sport on SAFM. Top Sport with Michael Abramson on SAFM.
So just before we go to our first interview, that question again, biochemist Brown Law, biochemist, B-I-O-C-H-E-M-I-S-T, Brown, B-R-O-W-N, and Law, L-A-W. Take those letters, unscramble them, and give me the name of a team who plays sport. I think it's very easy. Let's see how you do. A man who I'm sure knows the answer is my next guest. Not only is he a brilliant cricket reporter and correspondent on the show, but he's also one of the best mates anyone could have. Just a fantastic person in every respect. Kevin Rademeyer, great to have you on the show once again. Good evening.
To your listeners, thank you for the kind words. I'd like to say the same about you. I was listening to your commentary on Saturday night after a packed day of sport, and your commentary with the Sundowns game was gripping. Obviously, it went to the penalty shootout, but wow, great commentary and a great ending to the game as well.
Thank you very much. And went against Sundowns, of course, and gallants now through to the next round. Kevin, so much to talk about here. Let's dive straight into it. My first question to you is, how was Laura's side able to turn things around in 72 hours, produce an absolutely appalling performance against England? England were good, but South Africa were woeful. Only one player, Sinalo Jafta, getting into double figures. And then coming out against a really good New Zealand side, striking from the word go, wicket with the very first ball, and just showing a completely different attitude in 72 hours. What do you put it down to?
Michael, you should know that, and I'm sure your listeners know that. That's the South African DNA. We normally come back when, after a bad performance, once everyone has given up on you, once the expectations are low, that's when South Africa shows their true colours. And as Laura said after that first match, they needed to have short memories. You cannot keep these memories in the bank for too long. However, you need to take the lessons out of that game, which they did brilliantly under Coach Mashimbi. He's someone that is a real motivator, that someone that really trusts in these women, and they repaid that trust. And at the end of the day, that's what a winning team does. They learn from their mistakes. They applied themselves in the second game, which is not easy. To have gone under those extreme circumstances, knowing that if they lose that match, they probably or failed to make the semi-finals, yet they had the grit and the determination to get those runs on the board and quite quickly as well.
It seems as if the South African yardstick, as far as the batting is concerned, is Tasman Brits. She performs, she scores 100, South Africa win the game. It's been the case in the warm-up games in that series against Pakistan. She's continued that good form, I believe, more centuries than pretty much anybody else in the women's game in the shortest possible time. Just phenomenal form that she has at the moment. Did you foresee this, I should say, in her game? Because I know in the past she's mentioned that she struggled against spin. She's had to work really hard against spin. She prefers the ball coming on. So what is it about her game that just gives us such belief to be able to dominate so much?
But she's definitely one of the more modest cricket players you get out there. She works extremely hard. She's extremely athletic. She's got a determination within her. She was always, I don't want to use an ugly term, let's say the ugly sister of Laura Wolfart, who was always on this world stage was the queen, where she's quietly gone around the work, like you said, improved with her spin. She's very attacking up front. And once again, you hit the nail on the head. She's actually got a world record. She's the first woman to score 5 centuries in a calendar year. Started back already in April against India with 109. She scored 101 versus West Indies, 2 in a row versus Pakistan, and now 101 in the World Cup match against New Zealand. The first person. There's some brilliant names on that list, but she stands above them all. Also, this, I believe, was her 400 in 5 innings.
Yes, that's correct.
So, yes, a lot is on her shoulders, but please don't count out Sinead Lusa's brilliant 72, I think she got, or around about there. 83, actually. 83, which held the innings together. Once again, she learned from the first game to just apply herself, and when the wickets are falling, just to stay in there, which Sinead Lusa did as well. But yes, a big, big amount is going to rest on Laura Ballfart and Tasman Britt's shoulders in those first 10 overs especially.
We'll get to Sinead Lusa in just a moment, but on Britt's, let's not forget that she was outstanding in the field in recent World Cups. She's taken some phenomenal catches as well, so she's not only contributing as an opening batter and scoring some fantastic runs, she's massively contributing in the field as well.
She is, and I'm sure your listeners also know she's got an extremely strong arm. She's an old javelin woman. But we saw Laura Ballfart in the field yesterday with her determination, also catching unbelievable catches. And make no mistake, we had our chances to get New Zealand out for under 200. There was Sophie Devine, which you should have run out while she was in about 35, 40. We missed that opportunity where both the women were running basically to the same innings. There were some efforts that we didn't take, and some chances we didn't take. So it could have even been better, but at the end of the day, like you said, the girls came with the bat, composed themselves. And it's not easy, Michael. Think about this. The whole world has seen you fail on the global stage. South Africa's already having a doubt. To go out there and bat in a positive way, forgetting all that's happened in the last game, that takes incredible guts for anyone to do that.
One player who's been a stalwart of the South African women's team for many, many years, Marizaan Kapp, breaking a record yesterday in terms of ODI appearances for the team and starting the game in incredible fashion, picking up a wicket very first ball. And not only any wicket, the vital wicket of Susie Bates.
That was a brilliant first ball, and you're correct. And our discussion 2 or 3 weeks ago had her as probably the most important player in this team just because of her all-round capabilities. You are correct. Someone that's played over 157 matches. She's got 169 wickets, an economy of 3.83. Her average with the bat as well is 35, over 3,300 runs. Someone like that, you need to come to the party. She showed a bit of a leadership role as well yesterday. And that first ball, I think, just calmed the nerves as well to get Susie Bates, like you said, which is a massive fish in that team.
Let's go back to Sinead Lusa. Sinead Lusa, speaking to Ken Borland on Friday evening after that disaster of a performance, he mentioned in that interview that he felt Sinead Lusa's place was under pressure, that she hadn't really performed with a bat, that she was occupying a place in the team more on reputation than on what she'd produced recently. But as you say, she came good, she saw it out. When wickets started to fall at the end, she kept her end steady and saw South Africa home some vital, vital innings, which will do her confidence, no doubt, the world of good.
I'm sure Ken wouldn't mind me saying this. What do me and Ken know? At the end of the day, Sinead Lusa has been there. She's proved people wrong time and time again, not only provincially, but for her country. Once again, someone that's played over 136 games, 116 wickets, a brilliant average of 25 as well over that long period. Maybe we shouldn't doubt these people. It's not easy. She has been moved up and down the batting order over the years. She finally found herself now at that number 3 position, which she can call her own, hopefully, and settle into that position without trying to come at the end of the innings and scrape it there. We have to trust in her. She's got all this experience. I can understand why Ken would say she's under pressure, but I think all of them are under pressure at this point. every single game in this tournament is important, and once again, they will have to stand up and count it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been interesting because Annika Bosch occupied that number three position for some time and did really well in that position, but now Suno Lus has taken it over. Just in terms of the bowlers, Nonkululeko Mlaba, absolutely excellent yesterday and ripping through that middle order, picking up four wickets, vital wickets at vital times.
I don't think we can say much more about her. Obviously, she won the Women's Player of the Year last year at the awards that we were at. She almost walked away with everything. She is going to be probably the most pivotal bowler that we have in the team, especially playing on subcontinent conditions. We're playing in India the next two games, and then we move to Colombo for two matches. She's going to play a pivotal role, and she is once again another person that so many people really didn't think she had the skills, didn't have the temperament, and time again, she comes and she impresses, and she shows all the critics what she's actually made of.
Yeah, she was absolutely brilliant. Let's just look ahead. As I said, the next three matches all against subcontinental opposition, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka in that order. But South Africa prepared for this really well. They played Pakistan in that three-match series and won that series. They had that warm-up game, unfortunately, rained out against Bangladesh, and then another chance to play Pakistan. So they've prepared. They've played against a lot of this opposition or similar form of opposition going into this tournament. And now with three games in a row, they'll fancy, look, India will be really tough, but they'll certainly fancy against Bangladesh and Sri Lanka that they can pick up wins there.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Possibly over-prepared. I think that was maybe the problem with that opening game as well, is they were just so eager to get out there and finally get on with it that they were probably just over-eager and the brains left them for a little bit. But you are correct. So we played Pakistan a couple of times. We played a warm-up game against them as well. We did excellently. Now we take on India, which is a whole different kettle of fish. India played Pakistan in their last game, and they beat them once again. Extremely good with the bat and the ball. So they're going to be a difficult proposition, especially in their own country. But that's what made yesterday's match so important. If we had lost yesterday's match, we would have lost to England, New Zealand, and India. Five games left, hoping for other people to lose. Now, at least, it's back in our court. Even if we don't beat India, we are probably favourites for this tournament along with Australia. Then we play easier opposition, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, before ending with Australia, which might even be the do-and-die match before the semi-finals.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at the log at the moment, England and India, two wins apiece, sitting on top. Australia had that one game abandoned without a ball bowled against Sri Lanka on Saturday. So they have yet to taste defeat as well. So those three sitting on the top. But as you say, you have to end in the top four. And South Africa would certainly back their chances in terms of that. Just have, in terms of England and India particularly, have you been impressed about the way they've gone about their business?
Well, England were brilliant against us in that first game. I mean, there was not much to talk about. Today they played Bangladesh, and at some point they were really struggling. Bangladesh had them against the ropes, but once again we saw Heather Knight with all her experience, 151 matches, over 4,100 runs. She came in, settled it. I think she scored 86 or something at the end of the day and won the game with a couple of overs left by four wickets, if I'm not wrong. But they were up against it. I thought at some point Bangladesh was going to give us the first surprise of the tournament. India have been excellent, especially against Pakistan. And Australia probably would have had 4 points as well, together with England and India, if their match wasn't rained out against Sri Lanka. And that's exactly who we predicted 2 weeks ago when you asked. England, India, Australia, and then the rest of us fighting for that fourth position. And in the semi-finals and final, as we know, anything can happen, and I'm pretty much sure our DNA will fight again for us to be in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, let's just talk very, very briefly about the women's competitions, the Hollywood Bets Pro 20 and Pro 50, which started this past weekend. There were back-to-back matches at DP World Wanderers Stadium that I was hoping to go and watch, but because of my commitments, couldn't do so. Lions with one win, the Dolphins with one win as well. Just talk us through some of the teams that maybe impressed you over this opening weekend.
100% correct. Again, and we were actually at the launch of that competition a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting to see the women who are ready for this competition. And due to the great success of the men's Proteas and the Proteas women, we've been able to have this professional competition now with Hollywood Bets as the sponsor. not only are they a great sponsor, but I know they're also big friends of your show, which is quite important. If we look at last year's, we know the Lions won the Pro 50. They beat a very strong Titans team with the who's who in the Titans team. They're the defending champs there. The Pro 20, Western Province are the defending champions there. They actually won 9 out of the 10 matches last year. So I'll be very surprised if much differs from that. And you are correct. This weekend it kicked off at the DP1 Driz. The Lions won the 50 over... Well, the Dolphins won the 50 over game, but then the Lions came back for the T20, and they won that narrowly by 3 wickets with a couple of overs left. So it's interesting, and like I said, it will be great if some of your listeners can start following the women. There's a game on the 11th of October on Saturday again, and on the 18th, the Titans versus the Northwest Dragons will also be very, very interesting.
Kevin, we were actually hoping to get some of the Lions players in studio tonight, but unfortunately requests that were put through to them were not answered in time, so hopefully we'll be able to get them on the show sometime soon, and players from other unions as well. As always, really great to chat to you. Thanks so much for the comprehensive update. I know our listeners really enjoy your input on the show, and hopefully we can do it again soon. There's still a number of weeks to go in the World Cup, so we'll be having many, many more chats going forward. Thanks as always for your time, and chat to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Michael, and let's hold thumbs for our women there in India.
Kevin Rademeyer tells it like it is, a top-class cricket correspondent on our show.